Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome back, everybody.
New Kung Fu Kenny! Ain't nobody praying for me! Y'all know what happens on Earth stays on Earth! Here we go!
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
I'm willing to die for this shit. I done cried for this shit. Might take a life for this shit. Put the Bible down and go out for a knife for this shit. D.O.T., my enemy, won't catch a vibe for this shit. Ayy, I been stumped out in front of my mama. My daddy commissary made it to commas. Bitch, y'all my grandma's dead. So ain't nobody praying for me. I'm on your head. Ayy, 30 millions later, no defense watching. Auntie on my telegram, like, be cautious. I be hanging out at Tams, I be on Stockton. I don't do it for the gram, I do it for Compton. I'm willing to die for the shit, nigga. I'd take your fucking life for the shit, nigga. We ain't going back to broke, family selling dope. That's why you many ass rap niggas better know. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out
I'm
my element.
I'm allergic to a bitch, nigga, ayy. An imaginary rich nigga, ayy. Seven figures, hoe, that's slimmer than my bitch figure, ayy. Going digital and physical and all y'all, ayy. Bunch of criminals and money in my phone calls, ayy. We okay, we let the A1 fly. Relocate, jump on the same G5. Check it for me heavy, cause I go, yeah, I go, yeah. They never been ready, yeah, I know, yeah, I know, yeah. 100K spread across the floor, yeah. None of y'all fucking with the flow, yeah. Years in the making, they don't y'all mistake it. I got them by a landslide, we talking about races. You know there's never be a tie, just look at their laces. You know careers take off, just gotta be patient. Mr. 1 through 5, that's the only logic. Fake my death, go to Cuba, that's the only option. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out my element. Damn if I do, if I don't, yeah. Goddamn it's all if you won't, yeah. Damn, 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 it's a goddamn shame. You ain't frontline, get out the goddamn way. Niggas thought they wouldn't go see me, huh? Niggas thought that K-Dot real life is the same life they see on TV, huh? Niggas wanna flex on me and be in LA for free, huh? Next time they hit the 10 freeway, we need receipt, huh?
Cause most of y'all ain't real.
Most of y'all go squeal. Most of y'all just envy, but jealousy get you killed. Most of y'all throw rocks and try to hide your hand. Just say his name and I promise that you'll see Candyman. Because it's all in your eyes. Most of y'all tell lies. Most of y'all don't fade. Most of y'all been advised. Last OP I tried to lift a black artist. But it's the difference between black artists and whack artists.
I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy.
It's the one and only the world's greatest, the King!
I gotta go hard on the bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element, nah, take me out my element.
Alright guys, I did not intend for the song to play all over again, but it was automatically set up like that. So hopefully our editing guru April will be able to merge the two together and merge the first half of the show with this half. So that people can get the full rhythm of the show. But it's our first show back, first show of the new year. I don't even know what transits I could possibly blame on the technical difficulties we've been having tonight. So,
well, you know what's interesting, though? As soon as the call dropped, I tried to call back in, and that was at 10:02. And, of course, I'm going to check the transits. So, Reese was talking, and I believe he's a Virgo rising. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if he's on the line yet, but Virgo was rising at 20 degrees. Now, that will put Mercury conjunct Saturn in Cap in the fourth house, and the IC is Sagittarius. that was the basis of his conversation, really. And we got cut off.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was interesting, but I'm always a stickler. Say that again. I couldn't hear you.
I'll say nice insight.
Oh, yeah. I always check the ascendant. Always. That's like a window or a doorway for the energy to come through. And I thought it was funny because I think Reese is a Virgo riser. I just don't remember. See, and look, and he was speaking. And it was 20 degrees. I was like, yo, this is funny.
I have Saturn and Gemini at 20 degrees. It was a square.
Exactly. Yes. Look, in the midheaven was 19 degrees. So, yes, that's spot on.
It was square in the ascendant, and it cut you off mid-conversation. We were all listening to you.
We're going to blame it on Reese.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were talking cosmic weather. So if you wanted to finish touching on that or if anybody else wanted to add to cosmic weather before we get into our memorable moments of and I guess we can do the media ones first since people seem to be really interested in those, if you guys want to do those first or if you want to do our personal ones first, we can start anywhere with those. But yeah, anybody want to talk their cosmic weather currently?
Oh,
well,
I mean, Reese, if you want to continue, that was cool.
I wanted to finish up with what I was talking about before about the Saturn and Sagittarius transit that we had not too long ago, and how that was affecting, like, you know, a lot of our great performers and particularly those of color. And, you know, so I equated Saturn to elders, mature people, you know, and those who are champions and, you know, the best at what they do, goats, as you were, greatest of all times. And, you know, Sagittarius is very popular, as legendary, mythical, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, putting the two together, you know, we're looking at elderly performers or great legendary performers who either are taking great falls to or great punishment to their status or reputation, or they're having near-death experiences or they're passing. It was a big thread that I started in the Society of Indigenous Astrologers, and, you know, everyone was just posting every time someone had passed during that transit. And funny thing that you find a trend in that post, if you go to that, you know, post. One, a lot of the people that died during that transit were actually indeed Sagittarius risings, such as, you know, I can't remember his name. I wanted to go into the names of them, but and a lot of people who were also affected, when I said, to, you know, blow to their status were Sagittarius rising, like Bill Cosby, African Bambaataa, you know, Umar Johnson. You know, these are all Sag risings that I'm talking about right now. So, you know, that was one thing. And then, you know, Sagittarius has a lot of connotations on his own. One of my favorites is that it's laughter and it's comic, you know, comic relief and it's comedians. And, you know, under that transit, a lot of great comedians did die, you know, and they did pass. Or, you know, like you, my man, you know, Mork from Ork, you know, I'm not doing good with names right now, but he passed, and, you know, Robin Williams, and so, you know, he passed, and, you know, you had a lot of people, you had great teachers, gurus, who passed, you know, especially in our black community.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, especially in our black community. We had, what's the sister who died? She was a Sag rising. Doctor, what's her name, who wrote the ISIS paper?
Frances Cresswell.
Yes.
Dr. France, she was a SAS riser, and she passed, and she was a great teacher, especially for our community, you know. So that was one of the commutations I talked about. But the other one was that no justice and no peace. And, you know, so Saturn and Sagittarius to me represented no justice, no peace, especially to our black people. And it's represented to me Saturn also, you know, because in the judicial system, we saw a lot of failure in the grand jury. Now, check this out. Sagittarius is the grand jury, okay? And we saw Saturn is no disappointment, a breakdown of the system. It's the system, you know, and the authority figures. And so the authority figures failed us in the justice system. A lot of the elder judges failed us in the justice system, especially with Sandra Bland and a whole bunch of other of our people who were getting shot down and, you know, killed. And then these trials where the people who were actually instigating these murders were let off or something of that nature, you know, and or they somehow get away with it or get to come back into society and get a new job and or get their pension. So that Saturn and Sagittarius transit represented the failure and the breakdown of the judicial system, you know, the failure of the judges, you know, to bring due diligence and justice to the people. So that was another thing. So there was no justice, Saturn and Sagittarius, no peace, Saturn and Sagittarius. And so that was my slogan during that transit, because I'm like, we're not going to find any type of justice and peace. And don't get me wrong, there were some cases where we did find the justice, like the one guy who, the police officer who was raping all the elderly black women in L.A., or Oakland, I think it was, and he got the triple life for that. So we did have the justice. It was Saturn and Sagittarius. It was, you know, really harsh, really, you know, penalizing in that manner. So, you know, we had that. And then last but not least, Saturn and Sagittarius also represented the rise of the of the super conservative, the rise of, you know, the ultra conservative. And we saw that in politics as conservative, ultra conservative, ultra right values started to take precedent in our media, started to take in our and you know the Sagittarius represents multimedia or represents, you know, the mass media. And we see that take precedence all over the world, whether it was in France, whether it was in England, whether it's right here in America. The white ring agenda began to take precedence and start to gain forward over what they were called the liberal, the left-wing agenda. Well, you have to understand that Saturn represents the conservative. Saturn represents the traditionalists, those who uphold the status quo. You know, and so those individuals and their type of ideologies rose to the horizon, because that's what Sag does. Sag sends you soar, sends you on a mission to the horizon and beyond. And you know, their agenda began to get pushed greatly, Sagittarius, and they were very beneficial. And you saw mass abundant voting under them. A lot of their policies are being pushed through and things because that transit allow that. Now, that transit also means that Sagittarius is by itself the liberal. And so the Saturn is like, you know, the downfall. Saturn and Sagittarius, the downfall of the liberal or left wing. And this is why we saw everything with the Hillary Clinton emails and why everything is just so fantastical and outrageous with that, with what was going on in politics. So I just wanted to talk about that real quick, because that to me was a very powerful transit, because you really saw a generational a lot of generational events and epic events happen during that Saturn and Sagittarius. Not only did we lose some great people, great performers, some great ones during that time, Prince, to name a few, some great ones during that time. You know, we also felt the harsh political, the great political pressure of the plutocracy, because you have to remember that Saturn and Sagittarius was a dispositorship of Pluto and Capricorn, and that's still going on right now. Mm-hmm. And the plutocracy is having everybody in a vice grip. You know, so that's what I really wanted to talk about. That, you know, that kind of like that transit kind of like was real heavy because of Saturn, and because of Sagittarius, it got blew out of Portia. So we got more of the heavier dross and gravity of Saturn than we normally will. And we saw that in our global politics, you know, and we saw that, you know, in what was going on in our legendary performers and those who affect the culture, because Sagittarius is a cultural sign. So, you know, that's what we saw. Peace on that.
Well, I think that was a great segue into pretty much us discussing the memorable moments of 2017, because Saturn in Sag was a memorable transit. One, of course, that I don't think any of us will ever forget, especially when it comes back around again. So I don't see Gemini on the line. He was first in the speaking order, but I don't see him on. So, Tony, if you want to go, you can go ahead and pop in. If until he comes, I'll text him, see if he's going to come through or not.
I really didn't have anything to add. I mean, we've pretty much covered the weight of Saturn and Sagittarius. On a personal level, I can kind of speak on it because that was my Saturn opposition, as well as it squaring all my planets in Pisces, my Mercury, Jupiter, and my Sun. So that brought about a whole lot of, how can I put it? I ain't going to call it a shitstorm, but I realized that as Saturn transited through Sagittarius, it was just a lot of shit in my daily life that wasn't working, things that I really needed to address. A lot of introspection. I mean, I can say a whole lot, but I'm trying to keep it short. So outside of what Ree said and how it affected me personally, that's all I really have to add to it. I learned a great deal. Like I said, this was my Saturn opposition. A few little health things came up. I have a sixth house Saturn, so I kind of expected that. Some changes I'm going to have to do with my diet, really pretty much just revamp my whole diet, really, and, you know, beginning an exercise program. I'm going to have to cut out alcohol, which is something that I love. So I'm going to have to cut back on that. I know. It's not bad.
It's the Pisces in you.
Yes, the Pisces in me. I'm going to have to cut back on that and being more on an alkaline-based diet. And a lot of it comes from stress and just not managing your day-to-day life. So this coming year in 2018, I hope to do a lot better with managing my stress levels, definitely. And it's kind of hard to do with a sixth house Saturn. You feel like you got to do something. You got to be on the go. There's something that needs to be done all the time. So this year I have to learn how to relax just a little bit. You know, I kind of clean some things off my plate. So that's my spiel.
Yeah, and that Saturn opposition, with it affecting your 6th and your 12th, both being mental houses. So that's why, you know, you are definitely, of course, looking into stress relief and that 3rd, that 6th, that 9th, that 12th, those can be heavy transits, all because it all deals with your mental and the anxiety levels of your mind. And to me, those are areas that you can't control. Of course, you can train yourself to try to control your mind a little bit better. But when it comes to those mental houses and the things that pop up in your mind and the recurring themes that play out in your mind, it's hard.
The lack
it's
of sleep.
Definitely hard.
The lack of sleep. Yeah, and that's still a factor, because even though Saturn is in Capricorn, it's still by degrees squaring my Sun. And see, that's the other thing that I didn't even speak on, because I have a mutable T-square with Pluto in opposition to my Sun, with Saturn squaring both my Sun as well as Pluto. So I'm still undergoing that. And I realize that sometimes it's hard for me to make decisions. Sometimes it's hard for me to just let certain things go. Everything will not be a success. I hope I'm coming across correctly. I'm getting to a point where I need to do what works and just kind of like scrap the rest. Some things just not going to be perfect, and I need to really just learn to accept that and move forward and not be afraid to fail, not be afraid to say, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else, you know? So I'm learning a great deal.
Mhm. And that's, I think, Capricorn energy also, the not wanting to fail, not wanting to lose your grasp, and wanting to get as much done as possible in as minimal maneuvers as possible. I'm learning so much about, especially with Saturn moving into Cappy, I'm analyzing a lot of my mannerisms and my ways, and I'm seeing all the Capricorn-esque things that I do, and it's like, wow, Capricorn is so about how we navigate, and there's such a method to our madness. Like, I do it this way because this, and this. So, yeah, all of those things are coming to the forefront with my thinking, especially with Saturn conjunct my sun and my cap stellium right now, too. So, yeah, really good. Gemini still hasn't popped in. Did anybody else want to take their turn? Memorable moments, I guess we're segueing into personal and media moments, if anybody wants to go, because I still don't see Gemini on the call, so I text him. He might have, something else might have came up, so. Nobody else want to chime in? I guess I can go then. Memorable moments for 2017. Bit of a tearjerker, but I think we covered it a lot on the Cosmic Council. Memorable moments in general to me was the heaviness of the mental health, of us, you know, just as a people, just as a species. So many people were going through heavy mental health transits, which we talked about a lot. 2017 was an extremely high year for suicides. I think they said we were up about 12% in the United States. It hasn't been that high since like 2001 or 2002 was the article that I was reading. So, yeah, so the highest it's been in the decade. So if the decade started 2001, yeah, that's what the article said. So it's the highest it's been since we entered the decade of 2001. What a decade is 10 years. So you guys get what I'm saying, right? Without me X, Y, and Z in it. So with that being said, that the suicides and the mental health of everyone as a whole, and all of the deaths due to domestic violence and things of that nature, which I think tie back to the mental health issues. We covered a lot of it on Moon Mondays. We covered it as a group. So those were some of the most memorable moments and challenging moments that I remember for 2017. And it feels like it was a while ago, but it was all just last year because we started the Cosmic Council January of 2017, and we discussed all those topics last year. And if you think about the transit of Saturn in Sagittarius, Saturn being, you know, the suffocation, and Sagittarius being the energy of, you know, the bubbly, adventurous type, always laughing, always, you know, wanting to stay on their bubble, always wanting to be on cloud nine. Saturn suffocating that energy out of Sag, you know, making people look at the harsh realities. Everything isn't about laughter and traveling and having fun and, you know, Saturn choking all of that out of the Sag energy. And also with the square, not exact, but, you know, the square to Neptune in Pisces, the energy squaring both of those. So I think that had a lot to do with the mental health issues as well. I think Uranus in Aries had a lot to do with the, you know, the domestic violence. You know, Aries energy can be very male chauvinistic, very women are second-class citizens type energy, just the energy of Aries in general. So I think that had a lot to do with it also. So, yeah, I wanted to touch on that. Just the energy being very lackluster. To me, we did not have a lot of good creative projects during the year of 2017. The movies were lackluster. The music was lackluster. Like, and me being a Pisces moon, I really look forward to new creations, new creative creations. So with things just like not massaging that area, not massaging my creative area, I look forward to creative projects motivating me as well or inspiring me to do creative things myself. So with Saturn and Sag during that transit in 2017, it was very hard for me to be inspired, which is usually very easy for me if the creative project is, you know, hitting me where I need to be hit. But also, it makes me think, okay, so was it just the energy of Saturn and Sag, or were we, or did Saturn and Sag kind of have all of us looking at the glass half full, kind of sucking the fun out of everything? So those were, you know, a couple of my most memorable moments. And if this show is to serve as a time capsule at some point, I would like the people listening, whether it be a year from now, 2 years, or 20, that 2017 was a difficult year. The energy of the year was very heavy, and it felt like everybody was just, you know, trying to get through each day. It's kind of like everybody had a ball and chain attached to them, and we were all just trying to get through each day, trying to make it through, just marching along like Saturnian soldiers, just trying to make it through. That, to me, that's the best way to describe the Saturnian energy of 2017. So I'll pass the mic if anybody has anything to add.
I want to add something, because I forgot when we started this show, Saturn was conjunct my North Node. And I know, Apollonia, you and I had talked so much prior to the council even being formed. So once that happened, I was able to have a platform to, you know, to speak, to come forward and share the things that I've been working on behind the scenes, because I have a tendency at times to just be quiet and to myself and so on and so forth. So that was a time where I was able to, you know, to speak and fulfill at least part of my South Node. I mean, not my South Node, my North Node. And just joining up with you guys, I do think Saturn and Sagittarius energy was heavy, and it was intended to be heavy. I think sometimes we do too much. We get too far out there, we're not serious enough, and I think that was in preparation for what we are now in Saturn and Capricorn. A lot of us are not going to be prepared, and we'll see that even the more when Saturn, you know, ingresses even further into Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to tighten up We have too much fluff. I'm even considering, I talked to you about this, I'm even considering downsizing my
And you're going in and out, Tony, on your phone now.
Am I? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you fine. It just was kind of fluctuating, but we can hear you.
Okay. I was saying I'm even thinking about downsizing my home again because I have one that's 18 years old and get ready to go to college, and I think this will be a perfect time because I'm going to set myself up when Saturn hits my ascendant and when it goes to Aquarius and hit my moon as well as my Venus. I really want to be in a position where I have money saved. I have a plan just in case stuff starts getting rough. So that's what I'm going to be working on this year as well. Yeah, just to kind of get ahead of those things as best as possible because it's always good to be prepared. So that's what my mindset is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been saying that too, you know, like if you know, we pride ourselves in being professional astrologers, so definitely use the transits to plan and look ahead for yourself first and foremost. So, I definitely agree. And the downsizing, that could be a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, you know, you won't be throwing a curveball and somebody comes home.
Well, you know what? The floor, the couch, it ain't going to be but so comfortable because you ain't going to be able to stay for so long. So get your stuff together. I'm serious. Get your life together and, you know, get back out there. That's how I'm thinking about it. I'm like, look, I'll be 44 this year, and I'm like, I've got to start looking ahead a little bit more than I am right now. So I just want to be prepared the best way I know how. So, yeah, I'm a downsize, and I want to be comfortable. I can get rid of a lot of this furniture I have, a lot of these clothes. I just want to be simple, and that's very much a Capricorn-type energy, just simple, plain, what I need, and that's it. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So did anybody else want to add to the cosmic? We're pretty much into the topic now. So memorable moments, personal or social. Go for it, April.
Okay. So as far as media stuff, I guess most memorable to me is Jupiter going into Scorpio, and I think Reese touched on it a little bit with it, like all the exposing of people, because I'm big time into like you know the whole celebrity culture and all that stuff, with being a fifth house moon, that's like my thing, but yeah, it's just been really interesting seeing, it's like as soon as Jupiter ingressed into Scorpio in October, that's when you start, it was like Harvey Weinstein exposure set it off, and now it's like every day it seems like, even continuing on 2018 now, every day something new comes out in Hollywood, in the media, someone being exposed for, you know, some kind of misconduct or abuse or rape or something like that. And I think that the fact that the ruling planet of Scorpio, so I guess the, you know, the positor for Jupiter and Scorpio is Pluto and Capricorn, and then Capricorn rules, you know, people that are in charge, people like head executives of companies and corporations and, you know, mostly men who are in charge, older men mostly or older people, Jupiter and Scorpio is like snatching them up, so digging up all their dirt and expanding it under a microscope for everybody to see. And I found that very interesting and still do. And also the eclipses, the eclipses that happened in August, the one that was the, I think it was the solar eclipse in August. It was in Leo, and it crossed over the U.S. You know how everybody made a big deal about it in media, and they got their eclipse glasses, and they made it some corny thing to where they went to go watch it. Well, but we astrologers know that eclipses, they bring huge events personally and collectively and globally and everything. And since the eclipse hit the west coast of the U.S., or shall I say the Americas, because Mexico is part of the Americas, and it was also hit with natural disaster. And, you know, in California, we got hit with lots of natural disasters, fires. What the hell else happened over here? Like mudslides and all kinds of stuff, you know? So, yeah, that was pretty interesting how people were like, oh, my gosh, I don't know why all this has happened. And I'm just sitting back filing my nails. Yep, it's the eclipses. That's what happened. Like, everybody thought it was just this cool thing to buy glasses for, but no, it actually causes these types of events. Yeah, we had hurricanes. We had Texas. Texas had a hurricane, too. I can't think of all of them off the top of my head, but, yeah, all of those events were, I believe, as a result of the eclipse crossing over this region of the world. That was pretty interesting. What else? As far as personally, man, I mean, like, mostly everything personal major that happened to me in the year 2017 were all a result of a few key transits happening at the same time. Saturn in Sagittarius, because that made a square to my moon the whole entire year. Chiron in Pisces, because it's been conjunct my moon the whole entire year.
You and me both, girl.
Yes. And then the eclipses. Yep, so you guys. And then the eclipses on the Aquarius and Leo axis, that's my 10th and 4th house, which is career and home and family life. We had the last eclipse in Pisces, which that's my moon. You know, so, and then the south, north and south node on the Leo and Aquarius axis. Needless to say, yeah, I've had extreme ups and downs in the areas of family and career all of 2017. Like, I had some highs with career and some lows at the same time. You know, I got to join another network of astrologers, and it's been super dope, but what I had to do to get there was kind of like, shall I say, comparable to selling your soul to the devil in a way. I was literally working with someone I call a devil, like, for real. They were evil, snake, sneaky, the epitome of the dark side of Aries and Capricorn. You know, Aries is fire, throwing fire and flames whoosh at people, and then Capricorn, that's the devil in the tarot. And so, yeah, I had to deal with that.
April?
But then, you know, some good came out of it. And, you know, also the Cosmic Council being on this network, that was a high. On the eclipse, we'll see. One of the eclipses in February last year, it was like the exact degree of my midheaven. And on that day, bam. I had a nervous breakdown at work at my corporate job, and then I just quit. I just suddenly quit and went full-time into astrology. I have not looked back. Mm-mm, not looking back.
Bravo, bravo.
Yes, and I was working for someone who was a Harvey Weinstein type. He even looked similar to her, to him. Like, he was a dirty dog. Like, the same. Ooh, I'll have to stories on another podcast, but he pulls some of the same type of stuff with women in the workplace, in our office, and he's a disgusting pig. A Capricorn moon, just like Harvey Weinstein, too, may I add. But anyway, what happened? So, yeah, the eclipses, all this stuff hitting my family, my fourth house, my moon. You know, I almost lost three family members and then end up actually losing one at the end of the year. My father passed away. The last time that Saturn exactly squared my moon to the exact degree down to the minute, that's when my father had passed from cancer. And I had to take on a lot of huge family responsibilities in 2018 at the same time, try to build my own career. Going back and forth, cat and mouse, and it was exhausting. And I hope that 2018 means that that ride is over. So that's all I have to say about that.
So, April, me and you both, the next time Saturn transits Sag and squares our moon, you know, if we're both living to speak, we're both just going to sit on the mountain somewhere with the monks, because I don't ever, ever want to, like, that Chiron conjunct the moon and Saturn squaring it on top of it. I mean, the shit was so excruciating. It was like somebody popping off your fingernails out of the fucking nail bed. So, that transit is not anything to toy with. When Saturn squares your moon, I would rather the conjunction. I would rather the opposition, because once you learn to navigate that opposition, you can balance it. But the square, it's really nothing you can do about that shit. It's just nothing you can do. Every avenue that Saturn can possibly find to fuck with you, he's going to take it with Saturn square the moon. So that was a tough one, and I'm just glad that it's dissipating. It's still square technically by degree, but it's definitely dissipating. That and the pressure of it all, and you can't really do anything to relieve the pressure. Those last few high degrees, like 26 degree, 27 degree, 28 degree, 29 degree, wine was my friend daily. It was like I had to have a glass of wine every single day, just to kind of relieve some of that tension.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, Saturn was
squaring Saturn squares my moon natally, too. So I'm able to deal with
you,
it natally, it seems. But the transit, no fucking way. What'd you say?
Oh, okay. I had to make sure my phone wasn't on mute. I was going to ask April, does she have any harsh aspects to her moon?
Yeah, I have Saturn in opposition to my moon. So when I went through that some years back, I had another child unexpectedly. And that's a blessing. It was difficult, and it was a difficult pregnancy and everything, but it was still a blessing. The square, though, it was from my second house to to my moon. So it was like, I'm trying to earn money, I'm trying to build a career, I'm trying to be an entrepreneur, and then here's family. Well, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you pick up this person? Can you babysit? Can you do this? And we need money for this, and we don't have this, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, leave me alone. I'm just trying to build a business, y'all. Like, you understand? And then Apollonia, yours was from the 10th house to your moon. So you kind of went through a similar thing, trying to build a business, trying to do this. And then all this family stuff kept happening that's like, oh, my God, like it's pulling you away from your business.
Everything. And with the 10th house for me, my 9-to-5 was being very possessive and demanding. So it was like I was so exhausted from my 9-to-5 and my family as shit that I couldn't pour into my astrology. Like, I couldn't do any promo. I couldn't do any readings. Like, I stopped marketing. We weren't doing any shows. Like, of course, my readings were up high when, you know, we were doing shows. And, you know, that's with astrology, you have to market yourself. You have to put yourself out there. And I wasn't able to do any of that shit. And I really didn't feel bad about it because I'm like, dude, I have all this shit to do. And you guys know how much I invest into my clients and my readings, and if I can't put that energy into it, I don't even want to do it. Like, I won't even accept somebody's money if I can't pour into it what I need to pour into it to provide a quality service. So it was like, you know what, forget it. If I'm not even going to be able to pour into it like I want to, then let me just handle this stuff first. Saturn square to my moon, so many things were coming up with the kids, like all of these fucking doctor's appointments. My kids started school this year, so all those appointments, the dental appointments, the physicals, nobody was helping me. I had to just keep taking off work to do this and taking off work to do that. Yep. And then my superiors at work is, oh, what about your time? And why are you always late? And oh, my God. And it's like, bitch, I know you old, but do you remember when you had toddlers? Do you remember how that shit went? And then, of course, my Virgo supervisor is like, well, you know, you got to have a good support system. Okay, so do you want me to fucking stick the babies back up my fucking pussy and then initiate a support system? Like, what? I hate how Virgos like to talk about should've, would've, could've shit. I really can't stand that aspect about them, how they want to talk about should've, would've, could've. What is that going to do about us now? I mean, like, I know you guys want to poke and prod at how we could've made this better, but what does that do for us now at this very moment? Unless you are fucking applying to be my support system and help me fucking bust these kids around to all the shit they got to get to for them to go to school so that I can make it to work, unless you're applying to be the support system, I'm just going to need you to have a tall glass and shut the fuck up. That's just what I'm going to need you to do. So that all was Saturn square my moon, trying to do every single thing and feeling like the pressure was on me. And, of course, being a Capricorn as is, nobody actually – I'm not going to say this, and I was telling my sister today, I feel like nobody sees when we need help or when we're cracking mm-hmm. and crumbling, or even when they do see it, they're like, oh, she's strong. She'll figure that shit out. You know, she know everything, like, she eyes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Opposed to people actually coming, sitting down, and giving an actual fuck about what we're going through. How we do people, how people call us for everything. Like, hey, girl, what's going on? Yeah, so this is what's going with us. Like, everybody calls a Cappy or has a go-to Cappy to lay on their couch. And, you know we give great advice. I know we can kind of hover over a situation and tell you how to get through the maze of life. But you rarely do we have that go-to person to do that for us. And that Saturn square the moon made that even more evident. And, you know, I'm very thankful to you, April, and to Tony, because you guys were like my fucking diaries during this time, during this crazy-ass time. But, yeah, it was difficult. Probably it was the most difficult transit or period of my life. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to, you know, rant over. But that was Saturn square moon for me. So I'm looking forward to all of the hard work and all of the hard work that I put in through that Saturn transit in the 10th. I'm looking forward to reaping the benefits and rewards of it transiting my 11th house. Are you guys
word
there?
Up.
Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure you'll be rewarded. You have to be rewarded after all of that.
And not to mention with that during the Saturn square the 10th transit, the Head Start selected me to be the PTA president. Like, literally, I was thrown into that position. Literally, all the parents were like, it was like, it was crazy. Like, I went to the first PTA meeting, you know, trying to be a good fucking mom, and everyone was like, well, we nominate her to be the president. What the fuck are you talking about? I said, like, two sentences. And how am I being nominated? I said to myself, if this isn't Saturn square my fucking moon, I don't know what is. Being thrown into a position of power, unbeknownst to me, unwillingly. Yeah, that was Saturn square my moon. So I'm learning a lot about that. I'm learning how things work within the chain of command of Head Start and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to fixing some things if I've noticed that they're broken. So I said, well, let me utilize this position to see if I can make it better for mothers whose children have to come up through the ranks after mine. So let me try to see how I can make, how I can, you know, steer this ship to someplace better than it was when I found it. So,
you see, that's,
yeah,
how,
that
that's how you got it. That's
yeah.
your cap energy all day. They
yes.
like that one, the Capricorn. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's
definitely.
The same thing I said. So,
wow.
I think, guys, if that's all we're going to touch on, because Rabina has checked out. She had a client, Reese, who knows, he checked out. Gemini never called back in. So I guess we will play the trivia game, maybe Moon Mondays. We'll play that game
yeah.
together as a group. That'll give people more time to work on it. We had an awesome game planned for you guys that we were going to play tonight. But in the meantime, we have two callers. Maybe we can take them, see what they want to add, or if they want a little mini reading, and we can check out. So Happy New Year to everybody listening, even the replay listeners. Happy New Year from the Cosmic Council. It's late over here on the East Coast. We had some technical difficulties, and but we will do another show together as a group to redeem ourselves for this show. So let's see. Let's take some callers. Let me refresh this page. Okay, so the first caller been holding the longest. Area code 757-541. You are on the air.
Hey, ladies. It's Kendra. What's up?
Hey,
hello.
Kendra. Long time
hey.
No chat.
I know.
It's
I'm
our
over
OG.
Here, like, so excited to, yeah, I'm so excited because I was at an event tonight and I was being kind of a facilitator and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss the show. So I'm happy that that I was able to join in. But I've been listening and I've just, this, well, last year has been super crazy for me too. I guess say my most memorable transit was when Jupiter was conjunct my natal Jupiter. I'm going through my Jupiter return and when Jupiter went conjunct my Jupiter at 5 degrees, I had somebody try to, like, break in my house. So it was right in my first house, and I got a knock on the door, and there was some man in a ski mask, you know, looking around, like, darting his eyes back and forth. And if I would have opened the door and didn't look to that peephole, I know something would have happened to me. And so I just... I didn't even answer the door. I just went back in my room, called 911, locked myself in the bedroom. And so I went through that, and it was scary. Like, it was the most scariest thing I've ever encountered. And I haven't got any word back on who it was, but me personally, like, I looked at my chart. I think it's, like, a stalker. I think it's somebody that knows me from the neighborhood. I don't know them, but I did the transit from that day, and my seventh house is lit up, and I really think that it's probably somebody that – watches me, but I don't know that they are watching me. So I feel like it's probably a stalker, somebody that probably seen me. And it was just scary for me because I'm just like, well, shoot, I need to give me a taser. I need to give me a knife. I need to get something because I need to protect myself. So,
and that is so common for Scorpio rising women, for you guys to have stalkers and fucking lurkers and creepos. Like, I feel for my Scorpio rising sisters, because you guys are like, it's like you have a target on your back for fucking stalkers and creeps.
Girl.
And, you know, people call Scorpios paranoid, but Scorpios usually have a reason to be paranoid, unlike Cancers and Virgos.
Exactly.
But Scorpios didn't have a reason.
Right. You can pick up on those energies.
Huh?
You pick up on those energies quick.
Yeah.
I said you pick up on those energies quick.
Mm-hmm.
With the Scorpio, you know, risings, Scorpio placements, it's instinctual. You just know, like, okay, this don't feel right, something right. You know, you just bring all
it's
sorts
that intuition.
Of criminals, crime, whatever. Yeah.
Girl, yeah, it was eye-opening for me. And, you know, I live with my grandparents, and I'm going to school, and my grandmother is a Scorpio moon, and my granddad is a Scorpio sun. So when it happened to me and I told them, they were so scared for me, but my granddad was like, I got a gun underneath the bed. If you need to use it, just go ahead and just do what you need to do.
That's
if
right.
anything else will happen. But the police were very nice to me, very cordial, make sure that I was safe and make sure that I felt okay. And I wish I knew who it was, because I'm a little nervous, because when it's summertime, I like to be out. I don't like to be in the house. I like to go out to the beach and go out to the pool in my neighborhood and have fun. I don't know if that person's going to be out there. I don't know who it is. I have no idea. So it kind of makes me a little nervous, but I don't want it to be like that person has power over me. But hopefully I don't have anything like that happen again, but I guess I would say I was just a little taken back by that. Was the most powerful experience I've ever had. And that night before, you know, that happened, I was on my page talking about Pluto and how crazy Pluto can be and the shit that can happen to you. And the next day, then this joke was coming off
wow.
my door, like, knocked on my door, like, it was just crazy, but it was, yeah.
Now, is your Jupiter afflicted, Kendra?
No, I have Jupiter trines. I have Jupiter conjunct Pluto, I have
Jupiter
trines.
Anytime
Jupiter
a planet,
Saturn.
Anytime anything conjunct Pluto, anything conjunct Saturn, any aspect to Pluto, Saturn, or Mars, it's an affliction. Because those planets don't like to be agitated. They like to maneuver on their own. They have their own agenda.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck if it's a conjunction. They don't give a fuck if it's a trine. They like to maneuver on their own. So a Jupiter conjunct Pluto, that's an affliction. He's attempting to blend with Jupiter, but 9 times out of 10, Jupiter is going to let Pluto lead. So whenever you have a conjunction with Saturn, Saturn's going to lead. A conjunction, they're attempting to blend. They're attempting to have a nice dance. You know, what do you need? What you need? All right, cool, let's do it. But Saturn, Pluto, Mars, somebody's going to be pinky and somebody's going to be the brain. So in that particular case, Jupiter and Pluto is the brain. Even though Jupiter's bigger, he's taller, but he's, you know, you got to think about those Disney movies when the characters, the two villains, one is the dumb friend and the other one is the smart homeboy, but the smart homeboy looks kind of not good. You know, he's short, he's fat, but he's the leader of it all. So even though you have that conjunction to Pluto, it's still an affliction. When you're looking at trines, your trines to Saturn, there are going to be healthy experience to come out of that aspect, but it's still an affliction. So anything touching Saturn, affliction. So,
wow.
if Jupiter is conjunct Pluto.
Yeah, because that just creates an easy flow of energy with those trines.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Because trines lend, trines open up doors. Trines are green lights.
Mm-hmm.
So say if your trines are connected to other afflictions, the trine is going to open the door for the fuck shit over there to happen. So trines are good, you know. Trines are better than sextiles, but sextiles is are the only aspects I trust. Trines have better trines have better energetic support. Or I look at trines as the force or the wind to move the ball. But sextiles are the only aspects that I trust. Because trines, I have seen trines go awry if they're connected to other things.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I hope
trines
that makes
aren't
sense.
Always good. So yeah, trines aren't
yeah.
No,
like,
they're not.
Everybody's like, oh, I got a trine. I'm just like, yeah, just got a trine.
Yeah.
It may not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It
could
to
go
do, right?
either way.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't work
that's all
with
I
the
have.
Trines.
No. No. It's just easy. It just happens. So, and
yeah,
but you know, I when I look at my, I don't want to keep y'all up for too long because so I could be a motor mess. My Mars and Gemini, I could just keep talking. But I,
girl, we
Keep going. But I was looking at my chart that day, and I felt like when I was reading the transits, I was like, okay, so let's see what would have happened. Okay, so he would have got in my house, and I feel like he probably would have violated me, like maybe raped me or maybe, like, punch me in my face. Like, I kept seeing my face getting, like, bloody, fucked up, and just something really bad happening to me. And I'm glad that I bypassed that. I'm so glad that nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at the chart, and I saw, I said, it would have been really bloody. I had I forgot what else was going through my first house, but my first house and my seventh house was just going through it. Like, it was just a whole lot of shit just going on. And I was just looking at it, and I was just like, yeah, this thing, it would have been probably deadly. I probably would have been fighting for my life pretty much. But that was, it was an eye-opener for me. And I don't know, I guess it changed me after that because I'm a lot more aware of my surroundings even more. I was already aware, but now I'm like, it's like 10 times I'm more aware of my surroundings and who I'm around. So either way, I'm glad that it happened, but I'm not happy that it happened. That makes sense. So nobody's like, oh, yay, I had a robber want to come to my house. You know what I mean? But, yeah.
So Jupiter conjunct Pluto on your ascendant, and Jupiter, and you're having your Jupiter return.
Yep.
So right there, Jupiter conjunct Pluto natally on the ascendant, and both in Scorpio, you ooze sex. So that's easy for you to attract creeps and weirdos. That's easy for you to attract predators or men that want to violate you sexually. You can also attract sexually casual relationships to yourself, that could also be you, men falling in love with your sex before they fall in love with you as a person, because you, that being on your ascendant is like what you wear on your sleeve. So it's not even that, you know, this is what you're trying to do. It's just natally there. Now, and forgive me if I'm being too frank or going too personal. Did anything happen sexually in your childhood?
Yes.
Like,
yes. It was a question somebody asked on Facebook, and it said, when was the first time that you noticed, like, men looking at you sexually? And my answer was 3. Like, I know it's like, it's, you know, and even as a child, you know, in past, you know, podcasts that you have, I went through sexual abuse as a child, and I'm getting therapy for it, and I'm going through it, and it's difficult, but, you know, one thing that I'm glad about the Scorpio Ascendant is that it going through the therapy really changes my perspective, and it really helps me to change and have a better outlook on it and just be able to heal myself through that. And, I mean, even young, when I was growing up, I didn't think I was attractive. I didn't think I was pretty. You know, I had really bad self-esteem. But I would think, oh, boys like me because of the way that I look, or I exude this sensuality, this sexuality, that they like me. And I know they really didn't like me for me. They just liked me because I was exuding this sexual prowess type of thing on my face. Like, it's just always been there. They're like, my friends like, Kenji, you look a little sensual. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just being myself. So what you said is definitely true. But as a child growing up, I've dealt a lot with that. Or I've seen a lot of things that no child should see, like, that was appropriate. Like, at 5 or 6 years old, you shouldn't be learning and knowing all about sex. Like, it's too early. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot at that age.
What I feel, and, you know, kudos to Reese, you know, when we talk about opening the lotus and your eighth house being your some of your karmic debts and your wounds, Scorpio rising people have Gemini in the eighth place. So that definitely can speak to people that are Scorpio risings being some form of a sex worker in past lives. So you guys come back into this incarnation with that sexuality, that sexual stain on you. That's why so many Scorp risings say, you know, oh, I remember people looking at me and you know, giving me sexual energy from 3 years old, 4 years old. Like, who can look at a child that way? But you guys literally came through the womb with that sexual energy stained on you, and it's unfortunate, but Gemini falling in the eighth place would definitely speak to someone that was some type of sexual worker or did sexual exchanges for money in some form or fashion with, you know, eighth house ruling your employer's money or how you, you know, extract money. So it's just crazy. So I definitely, anybody listening, if you have loved ones that are Scorpio risings, children that are Scorpio risings, any kids that are close to you, keep them under wraps as much as possible. You may have to even be a helicopter parent to an extent if you have a child with a Scorp rising. Because things like this could happen. Now, say, for example, Kendra, if a child with a placement like yours, because now you got to look back to when Jupiter was on your ascendant when you were younger, did anything sexual happen to you at that particular time? Or if there is a child out there that's a Scorpio rising and has Jupiter conjunct their ascendant at this moment or anything of that nature, a parent would need to look at that and say, okay, this is a time where I really need to keep an eye on them. That could have been a time when, you know, their daughter was thrown in the trunk, and you go back and look to their chart to see this. So definitely, you know, just I appreciate you for sharing for us to bring awareness to that.
No problem. Yeah. I appreciate y'all listening. You know, I do. But I'm going to definitely go, like, pull up some transits when I was younger to see where that was. And, you know, I have Mars in the eighth house, too, so it kind of reinforces
my
first house as well. Yeah. And I got Mars. So, yeah.
And you got Mars.
Mars squared to Venus and Mars squared to Saturn and Mars in the eighth.
Mars square.
See, we touched
Mars
on that.
Square to
Venus
in the eighth.
Mm-hmm. We touched on that.
Venus and Virgo in the
eighth.
Yeah.
Now, oh my gosh, I just put this together, Kendra. Oh my gosh. So, like I say, you having this karmic debt of being a sex worker in a past life, and now you incarnating with Mars square Venus. You, your man's money, and your vagina are going to have issues because you are going to feel like And it's true. You are going to feel like a man has to be hitting certain Richters or he should be doing certain things if you are extending yourself to him sexually. That's gonna be something we talk about offline, because I don't even want to blast all your
okay.
business that I'm pulling in from that particular. Because
okay.
it's like a recurring theme. Do you ladies see that?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's like,
definitely.
Wow.
Oh, and
it's like
I'll be honest too, because
some unfinished business with that karmically, and then it's making
yeah.
sure that that business is going to be attended to this time with that Mars square to Venus.
Well, I'll say this too, like, and I don't mind sharing this, but I know when I was going through my rough teenage phase, like I was like one of those badass teenagers that should have been on Beyond Scared Straight. Like I mean, I was headed to the juvie system. I was terrible. And I remember I ran away from home one time, and I had a pimp come to me. I'm not kidding. And he said to me, "You're pretty." And he said, he asked me how old I was. I said, I'm 15 years old. And he was like, "Yeah, you could be one of my girls. You could be one of my workers." And I thought about being a prostitute just to get away from home. I felt okay with
Look
it. I was like,
that.
"Oh, well, I can just go out here and do what I need to do." And
mm-hmm.
I'm glad I said no, but the opportunity was there to do that.
Yeah, because you,
wow.
that was, and I guarantee you, you were having a South Node transit when he asked you that, because you've obviously been a sex worker before.
Girl,
I
you
guarantee
you,
when
that.
He asked you that, pull your transits for about that age, and there was something significant
okay.
either transiting your eighth house or conjuncting your South Node or touching
mm-hmm.
the eighth house ruler during that
okay.
time. Yeah.
I'm
going to have to look at mine, too, because that's the age that a pimp approached me, too, the same way.
Oh, my.
What?
In April, you're a Scorp rising, too.
Yep, and everything she said she went through as a kid, I did, too, but since age
Oh, my
and I
gosh.
I don't
have
to go conjunct my ascendant natally, but that's when I was going through Pluto transiting the first house and Chiron transiting the eighth house during my whole childhood. So, yeah, everything she said, like, you shouldn't be exposed to stuff, you know, you shouldn't know all about this and that at 5 and 6. I was like, dang. Like, I had the phone on mute, but I was like, dang. Like,
oh my gosh!
Like, wow. And I also have Lilith conjunct my ascendant too, like very close
and
Scorpio. And
Lilith is definitely a woman's sexuality. I always say that Lilith is your vagina. So you were wearing that on your sleeve as well, April, when you passed through your mother's womb. So not only did you have that Scorpio ascendant, you now have that Scorpio Lilith on your ascendant, Pluto coming down through your 12th to transit your first house, your entire childhood. So it's like it was a damn free-for-all. Like, you were just exposed to all the predators.
Yeah, pretty
much.
That is
so crazy.
Yeah, it is. Something that, you know, personally I deal with even to this day, like with forgiveness towards my parents, because, like, when I look back, you know, the memories are fuzzy, but I'm like, why did you guys just kind of throw me in the pathway of weirdos? You know what I'm saying? Like, it did seem like a free-for-all when I think back. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
get too deep into it right now. But
you know, it makes you
I'm
think,
saying,
like, damn, and you have to watch your kids. You got to watch your kids,
mm-hmm.
but if they have Scorpio ascendant, it's like, oh.
Yeah, and even eighth house, and Kendra, once you have kids, I'm pretty sure, you know, well, you're getting therapy and stuff for all this stuff, but I'm pretty sure you're still going to give a lot of things the side eye, and especially if you end up having kids that have eighth house planets. Like, I have kids that have eighth house planets, you know, and
yes.
There's a lot of stuff where I'm like, nope, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say, who are these people? What's their parents' last name? What's their license plate? And they don't get it. They don't get it. Thankfully, I protected them so much, they don't even know the experiences that I know, but that's why,
yeah.
you know, and even still now, like my son was telling me the other day, yeah, you know, I want to fly out to meet this dude that I know only online. I've never seen his face before or a picture of him. And I'm like, dude, like, what's the guy's name? Like, you know, like, do you know this about him? Do you know that about him? And he doesn't understand why it's a big deal. And I'm like, you saw everything that your Scorpio rising mom saw and experienced.
Right.
You would know
yeah.
why. I'm like, who are these people? Side eye.
Right.
One big Uncle Ruckus on everybody. I'm sorry.
mm-hmm. Yeah, protecting them.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, protecting them from all the shadiness. And a lot of times, you know, they say, oh, you're just being crazy or you're just being too much. I'm just like, nah, like, it's something not right about. Something's not right, and you just got to go with that hunch. And I know it sometimes, you know, to others, they're like, oh, this, why are you doing all that? It's too extreme. Like, well, you got to do what you got to do to protect yourself and the ones that you love. And, you know, some people may don't understand it, but it's all good. Cause we just don't want to. We don't want to see other people get hurt the way that we've gotten hurt. So it's like we try to tell them, like, hey, you might want to look into this a little bit more, you know.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Thank you for calling and sharing, Kendra. We really appreciate you being here. We have one more caller, and then we can close the show out. But yeah, definitely get back to us with those transits once you do some more research. I'm curious to see now.
Definitely.
So yeah, but
thank
you know
again,
we'll be in contact.
Yeah,
okay,
let me
y'all.
Know
thank
too
y'all
so we can
much.
Compare notes.
Yes.
Okay, I got
oh,
I'm gonna look right now as I keep listening.
All right. So one more
yeah,
caller,
my dad
guys.
Really helped me out. That helped me out because my youngest daughter has a Scorpio moon in the 12th house, and by degree, it's conjunct her Sagittarius ascendant. And I'm sitting up here thinking about how she's very aware the fact that she's a female, she's very, I would just call it mature. And we have always said since she was a little girl, that's the one who's going to be climbing out the windows. Or that's the one, I can't remember the nickname we used to have for her, Chocolate City. That's going to be the one that you're going to have to go. And yes, you're going to have to go and get her from places. She just has that energy. But listen to you guys talk, it's like, I know other people are picking up on that. But I tend to watch my kids anyway. My kids are typically here. But, you guys just really made me think about that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Area code 323-812, you're live.
Oh, hey. How you guys doing? This is Patty.
Hey, Patty. What's up, girl?
Nothing much. I'm just... you know, I'm actually sitting here drawing up a chart, and I was like, oh, they got a show today? I was like, let me call in.
Oh, okay. Well, did you want to add any tidbits? Did you want to say anything?
Saturn was transiting my fourth house in 2016. I moved twice. Finally now kind of getting stable, little stability. But, yeah, Saturn conjuncting my Uranus in the fourth house, squaring my moon in Virgo in the first house. So I just, this is all this mutable energy. Venus in Gemini, so I'm just like, oh, my God. So I'm finally now, I'm like, okay, I finally got some stability, a little bit of stability.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks Saturn
for
that, definitely.
Yeah, and that Uranus to the moon, ooh, I don't even want to deal with that either.
It's square in her moon. You said it was square your moon? Uranus is square hers? Yeah.
Yeah, I have Uranus square moon natally.
Mm-hmm.
I have it natally, but I would definitely not want to deal with the hiccups of that being a transit.
Oh yeah, I have it natally too. Yeah, I have it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I've got it natally.
Wow.
But Saturn just added to it, you know. Saturn and Sag, conjuncting Uranus, it just added the extra changes. It's like I'm trying to get some stability.
Patty, me and you have both been going through that transit, and that's been rough. That's been rough for sure. And I'm glad that it's dissipating. The further and further he gets into Cap, I'm just glad that the energy is dissipating. And I don't even know if I wish that on my worst enemy, because it's so hard to regroup. Like you're disheveled, and then it's so hard to regroup to build anew. So
I thought my Saturn returned. I was like, my Saturn returned. I'm like, oh yeah, it's about to be smooth sails. No.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. ain't nothing about that smooth.
I was like, oh yeah, it's cool. Now it's over, Patty. No, it's not. It ain't
I
never
would agree.
Over.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to let me see. Hold on 1 second, Patty. I'm trying to look at the boards because it looked like another caller randomly popped up. So, oh well, no. I guess that's right. I seen a 9-1. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's so odd. Oh, hold on. April, did you fall off by accident?
No, I'm still here.
I don't know then. Hold on. I don't know. Is anybody else looking at the boards?
No. You said it's 919?
It's a 914 number.
Oh, 914. Okay, I don't know that one.
Okay. All right, well, let me take the next caller, Patty. Thank you for listening, love.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad
thank
y'all
you
back.
Guys.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
914-522, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was just floored by what you were saying. I'm another Scorpio ascendant. You really just cleared up a lot of mysteries for me.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for calling.
I was just listening. I just happened
awesome.
To catch your show. And I had caught it once before, and you were talking about Virgo men, and same thing. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, whenever I just happen across your show, like, I just hear words
it's
of truth.
It's information you need to hear.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Catherine, I'm in New York.
Oh, well, thank you so much
thank
for calling,
you.
Catherine. We appreciate you listening, and we're back. We're off of our hiatus, so if you follow us on any social media or if you're any of the Facebook groups that we're a part of or anything like that, you can definitely look out for the flyers and stuff to see when we're on. But Robina's show is back tomorrow, Saturday, Ace of Cups, and then all four of us ladies will be back on Monday for Moon Mondays. So if you want to tune in tomorrow and Monday, we would love to hear back from you.
Indeed. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks
thank
for calling,
you.
Catherine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So I think that was it. Let me try this. Let me see. Area code 323-809, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
What's your name? Where
Hello.
Are you calling from?
My name is Vicki Washington. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I was referred to your show by Patty today.
Oh, awesome.
That's what's up.
Thanks
yeah.
for the referral,
I like
Patty.
I like your show.
Thanks a gazillion. Did you have anything you wanted to add? Did you want to ask any questions?
I got a question. As a Scorpio rising myself.
Oh,
I
wow.
Have
all the Scorpio risings out tonight.
Yeah, I've had those experiences for sure. I never connected it with the past life of a sex worker or anything like that. But when I did a past life regression, I came up as a woman in a harem. So when you said that, I was like, oh, that's my past life regression. So that's why I hurried up and got in the queue, because I was like, oh, shit. Like,
that is the truth.
That must be
mind-blowing,
so.
Isn't it?
And
that's that Gemini in the eighth. You guys come back. You incarnate with that energy on you.
Thing is that people are like, oh, why you always dress down? Why you never dress up? Why you never put no weave in your hair? Why you never put no makeup on? Why you don't dress up? Because if I start dressing up, I'm going to be a target to every perv in my jurisdiction.
Wow.
So I purposely dress down because I know my sexual energy is high, and I'm not personally, like, trying to project my sexual energy. It's already
there.
It's there doing what it do. It creates stuff, and it causes, what I've noticed for sure, that it causes division between me and other older women. Like,
same here.
Because everybody think y'all trying 60. To steal their man, and you're not even trying to do that. You're just sitting there twaddling your thumbs, but everybody thinks you're trying to steal their man.
You ain't, I don't even want your man. I don't even want these women's men. I was like, look, I'm not even wanting no dick. I've been celibate for over 5+ years. I'm good.
Wow.
It's because your nigga drooling when I walk through, when I sashay my big ass through the parlay. Don't get mad. You're sexy.
But
listen,
it's the truth.
There you go.
Do something.
If a Scorpio rising woman wanted it, she knows how to get it. I mean, she knows exactly what she needs to do.
I can take it with my eyes.
Word.
I can rape your man with my eyes. I can have him and his wallet and his friends at the hotel and all of his mind. Kissing toes.
And look,
all.
And the women know that. The women know that. They pick
I
that
think
up.
That's what it is.
But
just
not
like
not
the men pick up on it, the women do too.
But that's not my fault that you're not confident about your sexuality, that you're uncomfortable with your sexuality. And that's something that you need to work on. That's some healing that woman need to do. Or she need to leave me the hell alone because I'm not getting ready to tone down my shit. That's my money.
I love it.
Ain't that my birthright?
That's right.
Okay, then, so if that's my birthright, I can't let you take that from me.
Wow.
I can't let you think that just because my sexuality is mine and I'm owning it and I'm using it to manifest my life, how you gonna get mad at me? You better rub it out, bitch. You better rub it out. You better rub it out and power it up.
Wow.
Because I guess mine is, so you need to get yours. You need a class. I can see to some teachers, some workshops, some groups, some therapy. It's a program out here for the pussy. I just say it.
Lord have mercy.
If you want to get your shit right, I can refer you to teachers.
Well, wherever that class is, I bet you it's a Scorpio rising woman teaching that.
It is. Exactly. It's a Scorpio rising woman teaching the class. Come on.
And the flyer says, class for the pussy.
Flame on.
Lord.
Wow.
Flame on.
Flame on.
Wow. So So I apologize. I apologize for the women out there who have made you Scorpio rising sisters feel, you know, bothered
like they
or attacked. Because it's not you guys' fault that you exude that sexual energy. And I think that's
mine.
Now that so many of you come out of the woodwork, like every caller tonight except for Patty is a Scorp rising. That might need to be a show topic where we can, you know, touch on this some more. But wow. And Jupiter
that's
went
dope.
Into Scorpio too. So, and where is the moon tonight? Is the moon in Scorp tonight?
It's in Sag.
It's in Sag. It was in Scorp last night.
Okay, but
well,
wow.
I can't tell you. Jupiter just went into the second house. So Jupiter
just
was
right
here. The first house was. No. Jupiter and Scorpio, the transiting Jupiter and Scorpio just went into the second house. It wasn't the first. So when you're getting these calls.
Yeah, when we first started the calls.
But I got a
question.
My next question is this: don't you think it is the isn't it just an astrological coincidence that all the Scorpio risings are having to reveal or not really come out the closet, but they are stepping up and speaking up for themselves and owning their sexuality? Isn't that a coincidence of some kind, or is it just a season?
I would say that it's the season, and I'll let the other ladies answer too. I would say that it's the season and the energy because Jupiter is on you guys' ascendant right now. And Jupiter in itself rules the sign of Sagittarius. It rules the sign of truth. Rules the sign, you know, the energy of truth and honesty up front. The higher mind, expanding the deeper parts of your mind. So I definitely think with Jupiter on you guys ascendant, it's time to speak your truth. How April said, you know, she's been digging through her subconscious and forgiving people that have done things to her, whether it be the perpetrator or her parents. I think all of you guys have to have your moment of truth and honesty and revealing.
It's our healing.
I would agree, definitely.
Definitely.
All right,
yeah.
Ladies, it was a joy to be with you.
Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, you were our last caller, so we're going to close the show, but thank you. And please call back again. We'll be back. Rabina's show is tomorrow, Saturday, and we'll be back on Monday with Moon Mondays and all four of us ladies of the Cosmic Council will be together.
All right. Well, I've enjoyed my first installment.
Yeah. When you call back Monday, we'll look at your chart and dissect some things for you if you want us to look into anything. So, yeah, definitely call us Monday.
Okay. Thank you for the invite. I will share.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
My other friends. Thank you.
Please do.
Thanks for the referral, Patty. So, yeah, ladies, that's it. We're right at the top of midnight, so we can go ahead and close out. Awesome show. You know, thank you for sharing, April, some of your experiences. Thank you for sharing, Kendra, if you're still listening, because, you know, I know those things are personal to Scorpio people. But, yeah, I definitely, you know, feel that it's time for you guys to share and be more open because us just having this conversation, as you see, she said, wow, I heard you guys talking about it, and I had to call and speak my piece. And it kind of ticked me off because somebody at work was saying, oh, you know, people are just – because five women came out on the popular actor James Franco today, and a lot of people are in love with him. He is cute. But, you know, one of the ladies I work with was like, oh, these people are just getting ridiculous, and it can't possibly be all of these people. And, you know, she was saying very insensitive shit. And I'm like, how do you not know that one person speaking up sharing their truth. Maybe that person who started speaking was a Scorpio rising, and that lit the fire in everybody else to say, okay, hey, the hashtag me too.
Yeah, because
you know,
Scorpio is secrets.
Mm-hmm. And Scorpios tend to keep that shit secret. And Jupiter conjuncting
sure
you guys, Scorpio energy is like, oh, hell no, you're going to tell this. You're gonna open
mm-hmm.
your mouth. You're going to be honest.
Definitely.
And you're going to let the truth hang out.
But see, that's Pluto and Capricorn going through the third house of Scorpio, too, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
With the therapy and then communicating this, bringing everybody down.
Yeah,
and we have to remember. I'm gonna make my comment real quick. We have to remember, all of this is coming out not just for the people who have suffered, who actually have a voice, but what about those people who are no longer here, who suffered violently, who don't have a voice in this realm right now? So yeah,
mm-hmm.
let everybody speak out. I'm like, because you're not just speaking for yourself; you're speaking for everybody who's ever experienced this type of abuse or harassment, whatever you
mm-hmm.
want to call it. So, no, I applaud everybody. I'm like, go speak it. Speak on it because it
yep.
needs to be told.
Exactly. And if you look at Pluto in Cap sextiling Jupiter in Scorpio,
mm-hmm.
Again, Pluto being the leader, Jupiter is going to
mm-hmm.
follow right behind Pluto. So as soon as Jupiter went in Scorpio, Pluto was like, all right, we got some niggas to expose. Let's get on with it. Jupiter is
yep.
like, okay, whatever. Let's do it.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. It makes me wonder about my old boss, like if he finally got exposed for his perversion. I know that there was, before Jupiter went into Scorpio, like right before, one of his main victims, she called me because she had gotten fired. She called me right away and was like, I got fired, this and that. And she said, you know what? Before I walked out of there, I told HR all loud in front of everybody how much of a pervert he was.
Wow.
Follow up, you got to let me know what happened, but she hasn't let me know what happened. Now I'm wondering, did he get busted? I'm dying to know.
Well, I hope they looked into her claims, and I hope that they didn't just chalk it up as her being a disgruntled ex-employee.
Yeah.
I hope they looked into her claims, or I hope what she said maybe alerted other women in the office who may have been keeping it secret that he's been doing the same shit to them. Like, oh, he's been doing that to her, too? Well, let me say something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Word.
Well, all right, guys. Well, that's the end, and I'm gonna I'll close the show out. I think I had our outro song. Is our intro song from when we first started. So it was our Wu-Tang song. So. We will, everybody listening, tomorrow is Rabina's show, Ace of Cups radio show. She'll be on at, I think Rabina's show is at 9 on Saturday, every
mm-hmm.
other Saturday. So you guys can check
mm-hmm.
her out tomorrow. She's doing a dedication or ode to Capricorn. So she'll be talking about Capricorn energy tomorrow and sharing her Capricorn stories. And Monday, we are going to be discussing the evolution of woman, the evolution of womanhood, a woman's progressed moon in her chart. So if you guys call in on Monday, have your progressed chart available with you, and we're going to dissect that. So thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Peace.
Peace, ladies. Peace.
Tiger style. Yo. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. There's no face to hide. I'll stop step inside the room. Dr. Gold, prepare for the boom. Bam. Ah, man. Ah, slam. Damn. Scream like Tarzan. I be talking and forcing my style. It's awesome. I'm more family food than Richard Dawson. And the survey said, you're dead. Baby black girls hit shots off your fucking head. Mr. Who is that?
Hey yo,
so who is back? Make a nigga go bobo. Like a super cat, me fear no one. Oh no, here comes the Wu-Tang Shogun. Kill us with my eardrum.
Put the needle to the groove, I get screwed and I'm forced to fuck it up. My staff carries like a pickup truck. Cross the clear blue yonder. See, the dynasty, I slam tracks like quarterback stacks of LP. Now I try and test the rebel lioness. Bless this, the birth, I earth slam your best. Cause I bake the cake. Then take the cake and eat it too with my crew while we hit state to state.
And if you want beef, then bring the rocket. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Safe from the motherfucking sound that's busted. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Niggas in Sleepy Hollow. In fact, I'm a hard act to follow. I dope for Dolo. Bogart coming on through. Niggas is like, oh my god, not you. Yes, I come to get a slice of the punk in the pot. Rather do than die. Check my flavor. Coming from the rhythm with the show for the razor. Who make me reminisce true like nature? Who? I'm rubber. Niggas, it's like glue. Whatever you say, bro, talk me. Shakespeare.